Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you are with us this morning, wherever you find yourself. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship this morning. First, today we will be doing drive-through communion. Now, a good portion of our communion liturgy for the service will be in this service. However, the actual blessing of the elements will not occur until you are driving through our parking lot. So if you would like to receive communion, please note that this is not online communion. It is only drive-through, but part of our liturgy is in this service. We ask that if you come sometime between 12 and 2, enter off of Center Road, follow the parking lot. I will be down at the end closest to Gray Street under a little tent, and I'll have communion there. For communion, it is pre-packaged, so it is a wafer and juice all in one little unit to eliminate as much as possible any potential contamination, me having to hand juice into your car, things of that nature that are probably just a bad idea. So I will be here with that, and at the time that you come, then I will offer the blessing and then we will partake of communion car by car in that fashion as you cycle through. But the reason for a lot of the liturgy being in the service is that I think it's important that we do it, but I also think it's important that I not take everyone's time in the parking lot and block up Center Road. And so I'm trying to find that balance. So if you are someone who lives nearby and wants to walk up, please know that you will also be able to walk up to me to receive communion. However, please know that you need to wear a mask until after I've given you the communion and then taken a step back, so that we can maintain proper social distancing. So if you are a walker, please feel free to walk up. Just know to have your mask. If you're coming in a car, if you have a mask and you could have it on while I'm leaning towards into your vehicle to hand things to you, I would appreciate it, but I'm not going to require that. I know it just depends. I'll have a little tray and I'll kind of do one of these numbers. But I do hope that you will stop by the church today and follow our parking lot between 12 and 2 for drive-through communion. Also, our weekly Bible study continues on Tuesdays via Zoom at 7 p.m. Our weekly meals continue on Wednesdays from 5:30 until 6. We ask that if you're coming, you please wait in one of the other parking lots and then at 5:30 make your way. We're getting perilously close each week to starting to block Center Road, and we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to cause any accidents. So we ask that if you're here at 5:15, you please go and wait in a parking lot. Don't just sit right outside the doors waiting for the food to start at 5:30. I know we've had plenty every single week. I helped serve this past Wednesday. We had plenty of food, plenty of extras, things for everyone. We did not run out. We had some to take to others as well. So please don't crowd and cause a traffic backup into Center Road. The food pantry is also up and running. It only happens three different times. There's a midday one on a Monday, and there's a Wednesday night one, and there's a Friday one. So if you need information about those, please call the office, because that's not something that happens every week. Now, it's a lot of information. So before we really start worship, let's just take a moment. Take a deep breath in and let it out, and feel the Holy Spirit flowing into and out of and through you as we are transformed into a conduit of the love of God for the world. Now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship as we listen to our prelude. Thank you.
Good morning, Hope. Here's the call to worship. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. For it stands in Scripture,
"See, I am laying in Zion a stone, rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame."
Come to him, a living stone rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and act like living stones. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house.
We are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord.
Scales, O God of the mustard seed, that the poor shall see justice. Share the feast, O God of Eden's abundant garden, that each crop may fetch a fair price. Upset the tables, O God of the upside down kingdom, that the least can benefit from their trade. Open our eyes, O God of life in all its fullness, that we may learn to walk the way of your Son, tilting, sharing, upsetting this world, not satisfied until the products we bring to our table give a better deal to all who hunger for one. In his name, amen. Let us now have a time of silent prayer and reflection as we meditate and listen to music and offer up our hearts, our prayers, and our souls to God.
Thank you.
Lord, we gather in this place as your people to bring before you that which weighs upon us, that which lifts us up, and all that threatens to overwhelm us. We have much that we bring: the anxieties, uncertainties, fears, angers, hatreds, divisions, loves, compassion, uniting elements of our world. We bring our own anxieties, and we place them before you. We bring our joys and celebrations, and we place them before you. We recognize that we give all to you and unburden ourselves of all those things that so often get in the way or distract or hurt or draw us away from you. We especially this week pray for Sammy. Pray for all who loved and knew him and the impact he had in our community. We pray for Mary Lou as she struggles and fights with illness. We pray for Don Olds. We pray for Jay Taylor. And we pray for Lee Flagg. Lord, we pray for all those who we name in our hearts before you now, and we ask that you would be with us and with them. We would be one, united through the power of your Holy Spirit, remembering that all honor and glory is yours now and forever, Almighty God. And so we pray as your Son taught us, and we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Hello, Hope children. It's good
Hi.
To see you again. You probably can see that we're holding Gracie's new dog, Duck. She's only 9 weeks old. We're teaching Duck the importance of right and wrong. Duck needs to learn that it's right to use the restroom outside and not in our living room. She needs to learn that it's wrong to chew people's fingers, but it's right to chew toys. In the story that Pastor Andrew is going to tell the grown-ups today, it's about making good decisions and doing what's right. Now, we know that your parents are teaching you right and wrong, and your teachers are, and everybody else. We also know that as Duck grows up, she's going to make some mistakes, and that's okay. That's part of growing up. But you need to remember that it's important to make good choices. Queen Esther, in the story that Pastor Andrew is going to share today, is a person who had to make a lot of good choices. And not only did she have to make good choices, but she needed to do what was right. And she had to stand up for what was right. Pastor Andrew's going to share about Queen Esther. And when church is over today, ask your parents what they learned, and they'll tell you this very, very interesting story. Now, we look forward to seeing you again sometime. In the meantime, we're going to work on making sure that Duck here knows what's right and wrong and help her to make some good choices. Have a great day, Hope kids.
Duck, look at the picture. Here, see Gracie?
This is Lesson 1, Esther 2, 1 through 4, 10 through 11, and 15 through 18. Sometime later, when King Ahasuerus was less angry, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he had decided about her. So his young male servants said, Let the king have a search made for beautiful young women who haven't yet married. And let the king choose certain people in all the royal provinces to lead the search. Have them bring all the beautiful young women together to the fortified part of Susa, to the women's house, to the care of Haggai and the king's eunuch in charge of the women, so that he might provide beauty treatments for them. Let the young woman who pleases you the most take Vashti's place as queen. The king liked the plan and implemented it. Esther hadn't told anyone her race and family background because Mordecai had ordered her not to. Each day found Mordecai pacing back and forth along the wall in front of the women's house to learn how Esther was doing and what they were doing with her. Soon the moment came for Esther, daughter of Mordecai's uncle Abihail, whom Mordecai had taken as his own daughter, to go to the king. But she asked for nothing except what Haggai and the king's eunuch in charge of the women told her. Esther kept winning the favor of everyone who saw her. Esther went to King Ahasuerus to his own palace in the 10th month, that is, the month of Tevet, in the 7th year of his rule. The king loved Esther more than all the other women. She had won his love and his favor more than all the others. He placed the royal crown on her head and made her ruler in place of Vashti. The king held a magnificent, lavish feast, the Feast of Esther, for all his officials and courtiers. He declared a public holiday for the provinces and gave out gifts with royal generosity.
Our second lesson for today is taken from the book of Esther, chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. When they gathered the young women to the second women's house, Mordecai was working for the king at the king's gate. Esther still wasn't telling anyone her family background and race, just as Mordecai had ordered her. She continued to do what Mordecai said, just as she did when she was in his care. At that time, as Mordecai continued to work at the king's gate, two royal eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, became angry with King Ahasuerus. They were among the guards protecting the doorway to the king, but they secretly planned to kill him. When Mordecai got wind of it, he reported it to Queen Esther. She spoke to the king about it, saying the information came from Mordecai. The matter was investigated and found to be true, so the two men were impaled on pointed poles. A report about the event was written in the royal record with the king present. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Last week we learned about the legacy of Queen Vashti and what that did to set the stage for queen, to be queen, as we find out today, Esther. A legacy, a foundation of standing up for what is right and of not being allowed to be cowed, to be made second class, but to stand up and say, I am worthy, I am righteous, and I am human. And today we see the stage further set, both for the relationship of Esther and the king, but also for something else. For Esther to have opportunities to work in the world to avert harm, but also for Esther to have opportunities to be a person who can be trusted and to be a person who stands up for what is right. Esther becomes queen because the king realizes that he is lonely. I always find this very hilarious, that the king is so angry that he rashly casts off Queen Vashti. And yet after he gets rid of her, he thinks to himself, God, I really liked her. Why did I do that? I wonder how many times we have done that in our own lives. Cast something aside, gotten angry at something, broken a relationship, hurt another person, burned a bridge, only to realize later how much they meant to us, how much they mean to us, and what we maybe could have done different. We see glimpses of Esther's roots of righteousness, not only because of her relationship with God, being one of Jewish faith, but also because of her faithfulness and faithfulness to her family and faithfulness to doing what is right. Faithfulness to listening to one who is also a faithful, in touch with God person. This week we see the roots of Esther's righteousness and the way that she carries herself. And we recognize that it is something in here that makes her who she is. It is nothing about her outward appearance, despite that being what catches the king's eye. It is what is in here that makes Esther who she is. And these are lessons that she has learned from her family, from her uncle, from her other relatives. She has learned from her community and from her faith about how to live and who to be and who to live for. So when this report comes out about these two men and what they are planning to do from her uncle, she trusts her uncle enough that she relays this information directly to the king, who then verifies the authenticity of the information and whose life is then saved. This will be important later for a variety of reasons, the first of which is that by remaining queen and by having the king now trust her, Esther will be in a position to help when the time is right. But the second is that she has shown to the king that she is one who herself has good judgment, that she comes to him and says, "This needs your attention," and that the king says, "Indeed it does. You are true in your actions." And yet we remember that she is only in this position because of the king's actions, the king's rash decision to cast off his queen because of his anger, and that when he is looking at it later on, he realizes to himself, "Oh, that was so stupid that I would just so easily get rid of someone." Part of the lesson that we should take from the king's actions is the importance of not letting anger rule our decision making, because when we make decisions in anger, they are often not the right decision, and we will regret it later. This is a situation we have encountered now here with Queen Esther. She makes a decision calmly and rashly. It is investigated, and then it is found out to be true, and actions are taken. Mordecai earns the trust of the king, and things are established that will be important later on. This is the other reason that I call this roots of righteousness. Because like any plant, we need good roots so that when the time comes to flower and grow and produce fruit, we have a good foundation out of which to do it. If we do not have a good foundation, no matter what we build or how we grow, eventually it will topple and fall. I remember where we used to live in LaGrange, Ohio, often because it was kind of removed, would get a lot of wind. And I specifically remember, which it reminds me of Kansas. Kansas is a very flat state. The joke was that if the windsock was hanging straight down, it meant the windsock was broken. You needed a new windsock because it was always windy in Kansas. And so there were a lot of pine trees where we used to live in LaGrange. And one time we had a very bad windstorm come through, and one of these trees that was probably three stories tall of a house just fell over. The wind just laid it over, and you could see all of its roots. And I realized that as I was looking at the roots of this tree, as it was just laying on the ground, that the reason this tree so easily fell over where many others didn't was that this tree and lots of pine trees put out very shallow roots. And of course, there's always a trade. Always a trade. But this tree put out very shallow roots. And so when a strong wind hit it, the tree, despite its great height and growth and many years of working at it, fell over, toppled, unable to sustain itself when this hardship approached. We must have good roots if we are to pursue and grow in our faith and to claim the mantle of righteousness. Abraham is an amazing example for us of having good roots, because he continually is tested, continually grows, and always remains grounded and strong in the Lord. Similarly, Esther has good roots of righteousness, roots that allow her to be one who not only grows in the Lord and who grows in influence in the world, but one who does so while being grounded. She does not allow herself, and we will see this in the coming weeks, to be corrupted by power and influence and to say, now that I have all of this, who cares what happens to anybody else? She is one who worries about others. A lesson that it seems she got from her uncle and that she picked up from her faith. We must be a people who have good roots of righteousness. Mordecai having trust in Esther, Esther having trust in Mordecai, and in thus in turn the king having trust in Esther, leading to his life being preserved. May you have good roots. May you work to strengthen and deepen your roots, that when something would come threatening to topple them over, similar to the predicament and the pandemic in which we now find ourselves, your faith would remain strong and sturdy no matter the storm that is thrown at it. Esther becomes queen, not because she wants to, but because she simply kind of finds herself in that predicament. And yet, we will see that through this transpiring, Esther has opportunity not only to grow, but to do amazing things, because she has good roots. Amen.
Of me with this bread, in remembrance of me, drink this wine, in remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done, in remembrance of me, heal the sick.
To do our time of offertory. I know we cannot be together to physically place our gifts and our offerings and ourselves on and before the altar. Yet we know that God is with us wherever we find ourselves, and that we can be a generous people no matter where we are. There are many opportunities for generosity. You want to learn more, you can check out our website, or you can call the office and ask how you can get more involved in some of the mission work that we're doing, how you can give to support the mission work that we're doing, or how you can just learn more about faith. But we also know that opportunities to be a faithful person who has good roots of righteousness are available every day if we just look for a place. It could be something with a family member, something with a stranger, or simply something where God says, take this moment and deepen your faith. So may we now be a people of generosity as we give a moment of silence and offering to God. Would you please join with me in the doxology?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
unison prayer. Oh God, we recognize that we have been blessed with great abundance. In offering these gifts, may we be strengthened to proclaim your faithfulness and your salvation this day and always. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now, as we come to a time of communion, please remember that this is not online communion. Should you desire to receive communion, we ask that you drive to the church between 12 and 2, follow our parking lot off Center Road, and I will bless and provide communion for you at that time. But the liturgy is going to be during the service so that we can save time, and I ask that you would join responsibly with me from home, and please rise if you are able or are not already doing so. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image. You breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. Now on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. As a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And when we gather together today between 12 and 2, we shall receive the sacrament of communion. Blessed broken, and given freely from God. If this is your first time ever watching a church service and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not getting in my car and going over there, please note that the table of the Lord is open to all who feel the call to come. It is not something restricted to one or the other, a member or a non-member, someone who's had communion 1,000 times or someone who's never had communion. Communion is offered freely by God, just like grace, to each and every one who feel the call. So I hope that you will come today and receive communion. I will be waiting for you. And now, as you prepare to go back to the world and hopefully to swing by church for communion, may you know that in all of us, God is the first root of righteousness. God has given us deep roots, a firm foundation, and all we need to do is rest upon that firm foundation of grace, love, forgiveness, acceptance that God has given to us, and we shall have a firm foundation. So now, as we sing our benediction response, I truly believe that God will be with you till we meet again, whether that's in 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. God will be with each and every one of us until we all commune together in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit again. Let us sing.